for a hero. It's a Monday afternoon. It's 7:30 past 4 o'clock. And Gavin Steinhobel, attorney from Kloppers Inc., is in the house on a Monday. We generally engage in a little bit of free flow conversation that possibly gives you room to maneuver, makes you pause for thought a little bit. Hopefully it stimulates a conversation around the dinner table later tonight, because we tend to look at what's happening and what's hot in the news and in the local environment, and we chat about these things. Some people think maybe we're about to be censured for a little bit too free speech, so we try and rein it in where we can. But we will stick to the tenet of we live in a country that is still adhering to the notion of free speech, so we will enjoy that while we can. And welcome, Gavin. It's nice to see you again.
Before we get on, normally the 22nd of December is the longest day of the year, but with rugby last night on a Sunday, I think this Monday was the longest day of the year for a lot of people.
Wow.
It was good. At least we got our result.
Isn't it interesting to see how rugby has kind of, once again, galvanized the nation?
It's a unifier. Sport always has been.
Yeah. And the nation has been somewhat battered of late with all sorts of things, and we know what those are, and not the least of which the political interference in our
sports.
Well, in every aspect of our lives, if as much as we talk about social cohesion and bringing people's disparate peoples together under one flag, united we stand. Our beloved politicians do just about everything in their power to tear us apart.
Yeah, they're all on a divisive sort of ticket, you know. But I remember the last World Cup we won, and just remember the euphoric feeling that everybody had, and you almost felt that it was against all odds because there was a lot of meddling then. I think it's settled down a bit now, but a lot of political meddling, and sport was just another.
I think it's inevitable that whenever there is political meddling, whatever it is that is meddled suffers. It never improves.
I know.
And certainly, I think, despite the meddling, the notion of the green and gold coming together and carrying national pride on their shoulders and delivering.
We're an astonishing country. If you look at the World Cup teams, there's South Africans in almost all of those teams.
Absolutely true.
We it's top heavy with South Africans this tournament, it's very strange how we just took to rugby in this country. You would have thought the Boers would still be quite angry with the Brits and wouldn't want to play any of their sports. But
rugby is one of those sports where we're playing, China. We're playing. We're playing. But what goes on in the scrum and in the loose ball? what other game?
It's a wonderful game. But we do disproportionately well. We're one of only four countries that have ever won it. If you take our population size and the actual size of the rugby playing community, it's small compared to most countries, and still we do ever so well.
It's wonderful. I'm a firm supporter of anything that brings peoples together, like music does that very well.
Sport does it extremely well.
And we must cherish these things. It's interesting to see that even with the fact that there is not as much available electricity to keep the screens on, people are finding ways of getting to venues where there are generators or whatever to make sure that
you can see it.
Yeah, I think it's just...
Maybe the load shedding chap can try and be a bit sensitive to our fixtures. I was out at Fairview Estates. A friend of mine's got a property out there that he's built on, more like a bit of a weekend retreat, but it was so beautiful in the late afternoon with the sun setting in that sort of rural environment. It's really come along well there.
It's a beautiful part of the region, and it's slightly away from the coast.
And
it's a different biome,
especially now that they've got those little mac orchards and that going, and you sort of look over these orchards and it's really stunning.
Yeah, I think that they're onto a really good thing there, because there is definitely a desire for a little bit more space in certain instances where people want to start growing healthy vegetable and fruit crops to get away from the, you know, GMO and the, all the
There's
other stuff.
There's a bit
stuff.
Of talk of coffee being grown there now, so that should be interesting to watch.
Well, you know what, even if it's just notional, I think it's very healthy to raise a couple of chickens and let them...
And have just the space.
Yeah.
I mean, a couple of hectares. It's
look, it's
perfect.
Not a cheap option. Hey? I mean, it's not for the... but... I like the idea that you can build a couple of dwellings on one plot, if you like. Yes. So you can do that generational thing. You can combine your income with the old folks and the you know the youngsters.
Yeah, good idea.
And
I've seen a couple of those.
Look, there are certain communities where that's been pretty much the norm anyway.
Anyway, that's right.
And they do very well as a result. I think it's good. You don't put your old people in a home and forget about them. Mm. And they have contributed to that financial stability where you've been able to build this Ponderosa. So you look after them, you know, and they looked after you. And it's one of those things. It's a payback.
There might also be some estate duty benefits too.
I'm sure there would be. You'd know more. But also when it comes to things like child minding, if they're not too far gone. Obviously, I've got a song. But, you know, it's lovely to...
It's brilliant having the grandparents when you're young parents. It's really, really... good for the kids as well.
So good. And I think it's part of the... You
know, that extended family thing is apparently, in psychology terms, is very good for a child. Yeah. Not to constantly be under the watchful eye of their parents, but to have other relatives where things are a little bit more relaxed and they can explore their own character and their own environment a little
you
bit see, more.
And there's that thing with grandparents. Now that I is one, with your own kids, you were very particular about the way, you know, you're not allowed to have no fizzy drinks and no sweets. I mean, that was the idea. But with grandparents, I know. There's a little bit of a something, you know. you parents, don't you don't tell them. Because that's what you do. Then you give them back to them when they are now.
When they need to sleep.
Wall, bouncing off the wall with the sugar and all. No, I don't do that, by the way. Because they're listening. But that's the thing. You can, and I think grandparents generally tend to be a little bit more free to spoil and to love and to cherish. And then also to pass on, I think, some of the family quirks and talk about. Because, you know, old people like to talk. Well, here I am, you know, old people, me, telling stories. And it's a rich thing.
It's wonderful. And, I mean, the pressure's not on you as a grandparent to mold them because that's not your job.
Yeah, your job is just to literally, I think, love them. Well, that's nice. I mean, it's good. I believe that one of the biggest problems the world's suffering from at the moment is loneliness. This is the thing. Yeah. In the States, they reckon, and that's generally a kind of litmus test for the rest of the globe, but certainly the Western world, is that we become so isolated through social media and other devices. We don't mix with people anymore, or if we do, it's very cursory. And there's so many warnings about, well, you know, you're now very cautious about who you mix with and why.
I think also, I mean, the sort of Western society has moved in the direction of secularism and, you know, some of the traditional structures, you know, like church attendance and that sort of thing, that would sort of bind people and you'd have that sense of community there. We do. I mean, I've said it before. We need we need an overarching narrative that we can all subscribe to and get behind. And that's why the sport works so well, because we can all get behind a team, because that makes sense.
It certainly...
But we need to get behind a country as well.
Well, wouldn't that be nice? Mm. But, it's absolutely true. And I think that in South Africa, there still tends to be quite a large support for organized religions of various descriptions, and it's good to see. But you're quite right. There is more and more, I think, drifting away from those patterns of faith, etc. Because we know so much now, don't we?
It reminds me of Chesterton's Fence. G.H. Chesterton was a philosopher, and he had this saying where he said, if he was traveling down a road with a friend and there was a fence across the road. And his friend would say, well, they should remove this fence. And he said, well, no, you can't even think about that until you understand why the fence was erected in the first place. And I think a lot of things like, you know, even though, you know, I'm not a religious person at all, but I can see that religion did evolve to benefit us. And, you know, and if we don't have structures in this place, we'll leave a societal hole.
Yeah.
And And which is pretty much, I can't really see that anything has quite replaced it or even come close, you know, for some people who need it, you know. So, you know, you tend to think of these things a little bit more in the context of a society rather than just, you know, a religion or your religion or this religion or that religion. The point is there's a structure to it, and it's a social structure, and people adhere to it, and, yeah, and they benefit from it. So.
Well, I've noticed quite strongly the link between doing well in business and being a member of a certain faith or congregation or church. There tends to be a natural affinity. You want to support your brothers and sisters.
Also, it's easier. I mean, we're tribal essentially, and it's easier. Yeah. It's easier to trust somebody that you feel that you've got some affinity with,
surely,
than somebody who's a total stranger with strange cultures and habits that you're not au fait with. Yeah. So, you know, it's just natural that you would gravitate towards people that you. The same with joining the golf club or any sports club, yeah, or the ski boat club or whatever. You know, it's like-minded people. So you go, okay, well, you know, I know this chap because he's like me. He likes the same things, and so he'll treat me fairly in business. Or
that's true. Talking about the ski boat club, have you seen how it's been redeveloped, the Bolito Ski Boat Club?
That's fantastic.
It's looking really good. They've built a marvelous braai area, and they've kind of extended it a little bit. There were three operating tractors out today, so you know that's quite a major investment. I don't know whether it was for a competition or what, but because remember it was kind of washed away during the big storms.
Yeah,
and
when
tempests.
Was that? 2018, 2017, around there. Perhaps even longer ago.
It was kind of almost in the wrong place initially because, well, certainly the toilet was right in front of the boathouse.
That's right.
And it got washed away. And they were determined to rebuild it, so they left the toilet. It was all that was left. The building was gone, but the actual porcelain was dead. It was there for a while. Yes. But I said, obviously, we should compromise. And now they've developed it. It's looking really nice.
Oh, well done to them.
I think, kudos to those that are involved, and I'm sure that it brings them a lot of joy. It's an expensive hobby as well, that. To put a boat out. It was a move towards those jet skis and jet ski fishing had become, and that was a bit more.
That's a bit solitary, though. I think if you want to fish, you want to fish with some mates.
Yeah, and also there's not much area to maneuver if you're sitting astride a jet ski and you get a big fish coming on board. Where do you put it?
Well, they often astonish me when they come in with these. They do very well off those, and even the fishing skis, the ones they paddle, they catch some big fish.
Remarkable. And you see the whales are causing all sorts of drama. Not the whales themselves, but people looking at. There's a lot of whale activity at the moment, and there's a report in the local press at the moment saying that in south of Durban, the Amanzitoti area, there's a huge collection or concentration of whales, and people thought they'd been caught or trapped or somehow interfered with, and they were phoning the NSRI and the shark board, and apparently this is quite normal. They do that. They congregate. They're very sort of, you know.
Yeah, maybe they're quite social beings. Yeah.
And they've been on the longest migration known to the planet. I mean, it is the longest migration. They travel for thousands of nautical miles. From very inhospitable, frozen, frigid wastelands water. And then they arrive here, and they need to recuperate. They've now the cows have given birth. They need to build up the strength of the calves because they've got to go back to
keep traveling. Those poor little guys have to come along.
They can't attend to take it easy. But then they do these peculiar things. They put the tail out, and that tail stands up there like a mast. And people, Steve Honeysett tells a story of how they launched a rescue for a light aircraft that had gone down because they could see the tail sticking out of the sea. It was a whale. But so there it is.
Oh,
don't be alarmed if you see whales just hovering and doing their thing. That's quite normal. Tell you what's not normal, though, and that will be the last point for today, I think. You know, there's all this rumbling about the car powership deal and the latest reports that car powership has now agreed to buy a game farm, a hunting farm, and to donate that to SMVelo as a sort of quid pro quo for them signing off on allowing a car powership deal to happen here at Richards Bay, which the ecologists are saying is one of the most sensitive areas in terms of fish nurseries and all sorts of other ecological sensitivity, which will be impacted severely by that kind of operation.
Sure.
And now they are offsetting that negative impact by buying a game farm which is next to Itala, which is in the Freyheit area. You know that area.
Lowsburg. Lowsburg, yeah.
So that'll double the, well, not double, it'll add 6% to that Itala game, but it'll give them more room for rhino and elephant, etc. But it's a completely different biome, and it, you know, it can never be said that that's going to fix the damage that's going to happen down here. Yeah,
poor Richards Bay. I mean, they've got this problem with all the coal dust. And
but you know what? Yeah. Drifts also, we're not very far away as the crow flies.
No, true.
So, you know, we mustn't be too complacent about these things. But yeah, if you counterpoint that with the fact that businesses are tanking now as a result of no power.
Correct. Well, I must say, you know, South Africans always astonish me. We've just gone through a bit of a quiet market, and I think a lot of people were just sort of, you know, crestfallen about all the negatives, the interest rates and the inflation that we have, and the electricity crisis and so forth and so
forth.
And
now the petrol price going through the roof.
Yes, and they tend to, you know, everybody tends to draw the purse strings a little bit and go, well, you know, we've got to think of, you know, be very, and then, you know, South Africans, it doesn't last for too long, and then they go, ah, let's just
drive away from the fuel pump. You've just blown well over R1,000 on a tank of fuel. You drive so slowly, we're not going to accelerate. By the second set of traffic lights, you've forgotten about that.
Exactly.
That's how we are.
So, yeah. So, but I see the market, there was a point, I see the market's recovering now. I see a lot of transactions are coming in again.
Well, there's, generally speaking, there's some, you know, the things are as they are. We've gone to a point now, I think, from which we can only recover. And then the bounce back is quite spectacular. There's going to be a lovely opportunity to win with a Zimbali Lakes estate one of their golf holes is almost ready to play, and they're having an event on Wednesday by invitation only. But I think if you've cracked the nod, you must practice your swing, because if you hit a hole in one on that event on Wednesday morning, they're going to give you a piece of land for R3 million. Yeah, so that's quite a nice incentive. And then the Collins Group on tomorrow is going to be holding the official press launch of the long-awaited Club Med development.
Oh, yes.
Here on the Tinley Manor side. So there's lots of excitement on the North Coast.
That is exciting.
And every one of those things that takes off brings more investment to the area and more concentration, more focus, more excitement. And we are, I think, in the right place at the right time. And if we can simply just home our course, as they say in the good old Tal, I think we're going to be fine. Yeah. That's what I think. But Gavin, always lovely to exchange bits and pieces of info and to natter on a Monday. I look forward to our next gathering. On
like nice weather for a glass of wine.
Well, yes, from your lips to... we'll catch up in a week.
Thank you, Dave. Good to see you.
Always. If you are looking for a good attorney, you'll find him at Kloppers Inc. in the Belita Village. My very good friend, Gavin Steinhobel. You're on the afternoon show on Radio Life and Style.